Right then. So, first things first, just introduction. So my name's Major Georgina Eckersley. I am a wargamer, the Defence Experimentation and Wargaming Hub based between Shrivenham and Southwark Park. I've been there for the last 12 months, but I bring with me an academic background. So I come from healthcare as a healthcare lecturer for the last over a decade. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start by outlining our defence wargaming courses and what we do, and then a little bit more about the games, and I'll be building on what's just been said and picking up on quite a lot of the points are quite shared between yourself and our lessons as well. So there are three courses available for us, from us at the minute. They are Defence, Practitioner and Designer. They are all 5 days in duration and they all build upon each other. With the intention of the foundation being the one where it introduces people to playing games, the roles within games and what that means and how we can derive things from games. The practitioner goes into a little bit more detail and depth around how to design or twist games, so using commercial off-the-shelf games to fit a question, to meet a need. And then the designer steps away from that in a little bit more a little bit further, it steps away and it moves away from games as a whole, but into the building blocks and very much sits on the building blocks of game design. Again, to answer a sponsor's question, but a very specific focus question at that point. They are aimed to meet the defence's need. They are open to military partners across government, industry and the like. The courses themselves are Defence Experimentation and Wargaming Hub courses, but they are run by the Defence Academy at Shrivenham by Tom Mower and his team. So this lecture, this presentation, or the next 10 minutes, we'll go through some of the course design, which has been spoken about before. So our course design has been shared before in 2024 by Gareth Jones, I think. I will gloss over that in a wee bit more, and we'll focus on the lessons learned from actually running these courses from pilot. So course design then. So again, just picking up on that point, our course started pretty much with learning objectives, and it started at what do we need people to do at the three levels. Taking those learning objectives and turning those into then lectures, and those lectures having their own sort of training objectives and what we need the students to get to at the end of that point. And that thread goes all the way through to assessment. And I will pick up on assessment, with the assessments being a driver for the learning, the assessments being more difficult over time as well for each of the courses, placing more emphasis on our students that are there, but the assessment drives a lot of that learning. A balanced approach, and what I mean by this is that it's not just theoretical, that there's lots of gaming. So it's quite intentional that these courses typically will have a morning of theory and lectures and then the afternoon playing and exploring games, with breadth being more important at the foundational level, and that tightens up as we obviously move upwards to meet the needs of the students. And then the last one from course design was the importance of piloting. So these courses have all been piloted. Some have been piloted with more iterations because it needed a little bit more adjustment or just a double check before them actually going on to Tom's full schedule at the Defence Academy and going live, which they have now done. But I cannot, and that's one of our biggest recommendations moving forward, is you must pilot these. And when you pilot these with the individuals that should be sat on them. So by that I mean is a foundation programme needs foundational level people on them rather than some very quite high level people sitting on there who have got far more insight than the individuals would do normally. So the right people need to be on those pilots as well. A lot of what we've done in the design and develop or the piloting of these courses is around learner engagement. So the biggest change that happened probably between the first iteration of a foundation course and a second iteration of a foundation course was a change in the sense of we moved a matrix game. So the matrix game was placed towards the back of the course on the first iteration because it was seen as slightly more complex. There's more roles, etc., for individuals to play. However, on feedback and student feedback of the first iteration, it was moved to day one, afternoon one. And the reason being is the matrix game itself needs no practice, it needs no prep, it needs no understanding. It's quite an open game, It uses government and different roles, but essentially it got people and students talking. And it reiterates back to the whole, a war game is an art of conversation. So it was used to facilitate students getting to know each other. And then the difference, then there was another change also to facilitate conversation, which was to have more breaks within the foundational level programme so that students could talk between themselves and gain and learn from others' insights and others' experiences. Because even though a lot of our first iteration courses were defence, primarily defence staff, there is a lot of experience and a breadth of experience even within that there. So those were two of the big sort of learner engagement changes that we made. But I think some of the other key points around learner engagement in courses is things, particularly in wargaming courses, is things around active participation early. So enable them to play, give them the safe space to learn, and then to look at maintaining that engagement. So again, always having that wrap around learning of the games, to essentially stop, have a debrief to explain what went well, what didn't go well, so that individuals can then learn and iterate even throughout the 5 days of the same programme. So that's what I mean about maintaining engagement. And for us, that was adding in a little bit more around the debriefs in particular, so students could pick up a little bit more and aid learning. I think one of the things I've certainly seen from a learner engagement point of view is the use of real-world examples. So it's drawing on experience, it's having staff who are particularly experienced, who can give examples. I've done this game in this place and this went well, this didn't go well. And that is something that these courses have got in spades, and it's something which I would recommend all courses do have as well. You need the right SMEs to teach these courses properly and well. So I've already mentioned some of the lessons learned, and these are some of the others as well. So I've mentioned outbriefs or debriefs, and there is also a piece or a place for in-briefs. So particularly this was found on the foundational level programme, particularly around certain games. And this was where we were expecting individuals to take a role and a position that they may not have played before, particularly if they're not in the green skin military. More industry-based individuals were more benefit. This we saw more benefit with those individuals. So, and what I mean by in brief is just giving a little in brief as to what this game is, how this should play, and what roles are key, and what they will be doing. Really important, just to ground the individuals. The other thing I've mentioned, and I've alluded to this a little bit, is assessment practices. So our assessment practice changes as you go up the levels. It goes from a little bit more rote and MCQ kind of base to actually designing a game and a little bit more emphasis on own and individual learning. But that drives learning. So we see the assessment, not just for a certification, but we see the assessment as a learning or a part of that learning journey.
What's MCQ?
Multiple choice question. Sorry, love a good acronym. I knew I was going to slip one. But yeah, multiple choice question. And then one of the other big lessons that we learnt was, so the original INVAL, or internal validation, where we ask our students for feedback essentially, was we did it right at the end. At the end of 5 days, once everyone's probably tired, it's Friday, we need to get back within the middle of Portsmouth. So they've got long journeys back. That gave us good feedback, but not as good as when we did it daily and we provided the space. So this is certainly something I've learnt from academia. You know, if you hand a feedback out, the students are too busy, yeah, cheers, see ya, I'm off. Give them space to fill in the feedback. Give them time and facilitate that. And you will get better feedback, usually. So the feedback has iteratively changed, and I've explained some of the changes, and they will continue to change. We are using thresholds, so things like comments coming through, we will use thresholds on those, so we're looking for typically around 20% of the cohort giving us similar feedback in order for actions, and you're monitoring trends across the validation. So again, it's lessons from academia, not always being, you don't need to change every time, but it's got to be the right time to make those changes, especially if they're big changes to a programme. Because if you need to put stuff in, stuff's got to come out. Like, it's the same decision. We still have risks. So these are risks around our courses. And I think the biggest risk for us is meeting the needs of a broad audience. That's always going to be a risk. This is a course which is open to military as well as industry, as well as partners across government, so with varying experience and a breadth, and that's always going to be a risk. We have mitigated this to some extent, so we do now provide reading lists, we do now provide key documents individuals need to or may need to look at, but they're not always mandatory because it just depends on experience. But the reading list has certainly gone some way to mitigate some of the issues we were seeing. The other one which still remains sort of a ball up in the air is the teaching of analysis. So analysis tends to be a key part of wargaming, whether that's qualitative or quantitative. And all individuals come with a breadth of experience and understanding of those. And that whether that's from an undergraduate degree or just actually doing it in practice. So there's a real fine line here. We need a level of understanding, but how we get that and what that baseline looks like really depends on the level, and it's just a little bit fluid at the minute for us. So that's something we're still certainly grappling with, whether that's going to be a separate part, a different part, or how we do that. That's, again, probably one of the biggest areas we need to tackle a little bit further. And what I mean by the next generation is courses need SMEs to teach them. It needs real deep understanding, and particularly when you get to the design and the more fluent areas, you need even more understanding than at the foundational level. And for me, these courses don't necessarily go far enough in creating this next generation. And I don't want to. I know there's a piece on the next generation coming up, but for me, this is about pathways and careers which fully involve wargaming. And it alludes to your point earlier around where is that in the experience? You know, what's the pipeline and how does that look? And that's certainly something which I know the whole arena is grappling with, but it will influence us in particular who teaches on these courses as they endure. So finally then, so these are some of the biggest recommendations for best practice, and I've probably mentioned them all at some point, but I really cannot stress enough the importance of piloting and piloting with the right individuals. Welcoming constructive feedback, but again, being really careful with that. You don't need to knee-jerk and change everything on one comment. Look for trends, look for amassing those and having and setting thresholds for change. Yeah, otherwise you'll just change and change and change and change, and that's not good in and of itself. We need to establish and consolidate and respond to constructive and coherent feedback. I've mentioned again around the courses need subject matter experts, and we need to start defining really clearly what that looks like, what these pathways are. And as well as what I mean by continuous learning is, for me, this is a field which seems to be establishing itself. And don't shoot me. I mean, from an academic point of view, as in the theoretical basis and some of those aspects. So as that develops, as that understanding, that's certainly something that these courses will need to be responsive to, bringing in the most up-to-date research. AI's got mentioned in numerous occasions. What part does that have to play? Feeding that in appropriately as that comes on. So these courses have got to continually evolve as the learning evolves in this space in particular. And I think for me, just finally, the final thing is, for me, certainly what I've seen coming into this field and working in this space is the value of wargaming in professional courses cannot be understated. It shapes professional understanding. It adds a safe space. And for me, that's what we need to create, a safe and protected learning environment in order for people to test, adjust, and to understand the space and what they're working in, because it's so broad. And that's it. On me, and I don't think you flashed a card at all. I was hiding, so I didn't see any of them.